girls make yourselves comfortable in the back. I'll get you some rugs.
Well, he's rather gorgeous, isn't he? If only he'd keep his prehistoric views to himself. If he's so awful, why are you prepared to go and stay the night with him? To teach him the error of his ways? I want to see this red room. I want to sit out the night there.
Well, just to show him what a silly man he is.
Yes.
Hypocrite.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Off we go. You're comfortable every couple of hours, I'm afraid.
Quite comfortable, thank you. Someone ought to tell a story.
Well, your turn.
Oh, no.
Yes, come along, Violet. Why not?
No, really.
You must know one.
I do know one. It's about a car.
Oh, well, it could be better. Come on.
Oh, all right.
So, a car. Whose was it? A headless cabbie?
It belonged to the wife of a businessman. He worked in China.
What was he doing there?
Well, he was something big in the Grand Oriental Bank, stationed in Beijing. She was called Mrs. Bowlby. She'd been ill, but she recovered and she went out to join him. When she finally got there, he'd had to go off to Shanghai on business for a few days, and so she had to settle in without him. He had left instructions.
You'll need a car. You better have a saloon because of the dust.
So one morning, Mrs. Bowlby went down to Maxim's garage in Nanshichu to choose a car.
This is a Buick, madam. One careful owner. We always get good second-hand cars here. Diplomats transferred, you know. It's been entirely repainted. Excellent suspension. You'll want that on these roads, Mrs. Bowlby.
Who did it belong to?
I bought the car when the owner left. Very good people from here in the quarter, of course. Excellent people.
Oh, very well. I'll take it.
Mrs. Bowlby fitted out a chauffeur with gold-trimmed livery. And after Mr. Bowlby returned, she set out to pay her calls.
Now then, Schwanz.
Yes, madam?
The wife of the German minister.
Yes, madam.
It all began towards the end of her first week.
Now then, the wife of the commandant of the English guard next, Mrs. Fenton.
Dear Louise. Oh, it's him. Oh.
Schwanz, did you say something?
No, madam.
Oh, never mind. Nerves. Hearing voices, really. Nerves, that's all. Can be such a menace, must just ignore it.
But then a few days later, she was driving along the great road that runs past the legation quarter, past the scarlet walls and golden roofs of the Forbidden City. She was on her way to see her husband play polo.
Terrifying game. I wish Jim didn't play.
Au revoir, mon très cher. Don't fall, I beg you. Au revoir, Jacques. Polo, dreadful sport. Dieu que je le déteste.
That wasn't the chauffeur. And it wasn't nerves. I heard it, a voice. Speaking French in my car. It's absurd, impossible. Why aren't I frightened? There's such a beautiful voice. Who is she? Who is Jacques? Mon très cher. I wonder what Jim would say if I called him that. And what would he say if I told him? I don't think I can. He'd say it was nerves, and anyway, I've no right to. I'd feel as though I was giving the poor woman away.
This feeling grew over the following days. The voice became a daily occurrence, furnishing a curious secret background to her social routine.
She only speaks about this Jack person. She must love him very much. It's a bit like hearing one half of a phone conversation.
But whether it was plans or snatches of talk, always, sooner or later, came the undertone of tenderness, the close concern, the monopolizing happiness of a woman in love.
Jacques, maintenant il se lit là pour toujours, ton amour.
The Peking Hotel, please, sir.
Yes, Mr. Bowlby.
It's only leaving due. We'll be able to show our faces, darling.
Of course.
We don't need to stay long, just half an hour, sir. So.
But tonight, one will dance, n'est-ce pas?
What's the matter? What are you looking at?
Oh, nothing. Nothing, dear. He didn't hear it. He hasn't heard a word. Thank goodness I haven't said anything. Why do only I hear it? And why is it only the woman's voice?
She noticed other things.
There are certain places where it comes through more clearly, near the polo ground. She's so anxious for him. Perhaps it's because I'm so frightened about Jim playing. It means there's a link between us. and in the East City.
Mrs. Bowlby liked the quiet backwater of the East City, the low houses in their gardens, tucked away in a corner of the city wall, the flowering trees hanging over the narrow lanes. Here, the voice spoke most clearly. Here, it seemed, the lovers had a meeting place.
This afternoon, I will serve you tea on the stone table under the pine tree, and then we will sit by the fish pond, the one shaped like le trèfle, like three leaves. That is good luck, n'est-ce pas? They have mended the parapet. The mortar is still wet. Jacques, we can make an inscription to our love, and then it will lie there forever. Ton amour, and I with you. No one will find it. No one will know.
Mrs. Bowlby was fascinated, held by the spell of this passionate adventure. She was happy with Bowlby, but she had never known anything like this. The desire grew on her to find out more about the voice, but how? Then one day, the clue was given to her. She was just getting into the car.
230, Pour Hua Shang Redong, s'il vous plaît.
Schwein?
Yes, madame?
230, Pour Hua Shang Redong.
Yes, madame.
She caught a flicker of surprise on the face of one of the servants standing on the steps.
Have they heard that address before? Where is it? Where are we going? It looks like the East City.
Slowly, the car drove down the narrow lanes, close to the very foot of the massive city wall, until they pulled up by a scarlet door.
Madam?
Ask who lives there. Ask the name.
Yes, madam.
This afternoon, I will serve you tea on the stone table under the pine tree, and then we will sit by the fish pond.
The old man says, Fakwa Tai Tai, a French lady lives here.
Yes?
But she has gone away.
Oh, very well. Shuang, wait here.
Yes, madame.
At the end of the alley was one of the huge ramps used in ancient times to drive up onto the city wall. She hurried down the alley and began to pick her way up it through the rubbish and fallen rubble.
What will Shuang think? Oh, my stockings.
She scrambled up until she found herself on the broad flat top of the wall, broad enough for two chariots to drive abreast. Below her, Peking lay spread out.
There's the car. How odd it looks. All neat and shiny in the dusty lane. And there's the wall of her house. If I walk along a bit, I can see into the garden, the whole thing. Right below me.
A dreamlike sense of unreality came over her.
There's the pine tree with the stone table round it. And there's the fish pond shaped like a trefoil. This is where they met. Oh, how I wish I could bring Jim here and tell him all about it. I must find out who she was. But how? Someone must know.
A few weeks later, she found herself at dinner, seated next to Mr. Van Adam, the elderly doyen of Peking society.
Such beautiful gardens there are in the East City. I found one the other day with a glorious pine tree and a queer clover-leaf-shaped fish pond. Quite the most beautiful place I've ever seen. Do you know it?
I know the one, yes.
Who lives there, do you know?
Let me see. Count Dardenne, I believe.
Was he married?
I believe so.
What was the wife like?
A siren.
I beg your pardon?
She was a lovely creature.
Did she have a car?
Car? Yes. She went everywhere in a yellow thing. A Buick, I think.
When did they leave?
Oh, going on for a year ago. She was ill, they said. Looked it, anyhow. She went back home. The East didn't suit her, I guess.
Poor thing.
Coffee, Mrs. Bowlby? You take cream.
At least I don't feel the need to ask any more. Madame Dardenne. Poor dear. One thing is a little odd. I'm sure this Jacques wasn't her husband. Clearly this Frenchwoman did not hold the marriage tie sacred, as I believe one ought.
and yet do I censure her? No. I don't even think Mr. Van Adam was quite right to call her a siren. A siren is a cold-hearted creature who lures men to their doom. I don't believe my voice was the voice of such a creature. She loved him so much. Perhaps if people knew as much about love affairs as I know about this one, they would be less quick to judge.
Xuan, drive to the poor Hua Xuan Hutong.
Yes, madam.
I'd like to look at that garden again.
Mrs. Bowlby climbed up onto the city wall again and found the spot where she could look down into the garden.
I wish I could just walk in it. Just once. Perhaps then I wouldn't feel so... so... Xuan!
Yes, madam?
Here's $5. Give it to the caretaker and tell him I wish to walk in the garden of that house.
Yes, madam.
The caretaker led her through the house and several courtyards until she found herself standing in the garden beneath the old city wall.
There's the pine tree with the stone table at its foot. That's where she sat with her lover. Oh, how sad. How cruel life is. Well, I wish I hadn't come now. Poor woman. There's the goldfish pond with the piece that's been repaired. I wonder, did they make the inscription?
It will lie there forever. Ton amour. And I with you. No one will find it. No one will know.
Why? I believe this must be it. Scratched in the plaster quite neatly. Anne-Marie Dardenne. James Bowlby. James. Jacques. Jim.
It will lie there forever. Ton amour and I with you.
Was found, and off it went, with the small drooping figure of Mrs. Bowlby in it, while down the alley after it lurched the Buick Saloon.
What happened to the mistress? How did she die?
I don't know. Perhaps she died of a broken heart.
Perhaps Bowlby had murdered her and buried her in the garden.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we're nearly there.
Oh, good. What lovely countryside, the hills.
Yes.
Is there a tarn up there?
Yes.
Ah, oh, must be a beautiful spot.
There's the house.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
You see the tower there on the end with the ivy and the arched window?
Yes.
That's the red room.